Joined on the line now by Mark MacDonald from Slieneagh Careers. Mark, good evening to you.
Good evening, Eddie.
And thank you very much indeed, as always, for joining us. Mark, towards the end of my conversation last week with Liam, we got on briefly to talk about rather difficult or tough interview questions, and we decided that for this evening's slot we would develop the point. So perhaps you might just give us a general commentary on tough interview questions and then perhaps a number of examples on how best to deal with those difficulties.
Absolutely, Aidan. Yeah, I think in any interview situation, you know, we generally prepare what we deem to be, you know, relevant answers to relevant questions. But sometimes we fail to prepare for the kind of curveball type question. And in general terms, they're the ones that unsettle us at interview. They're the ones that kind of take us out of our comfort zone. And we flap around for answers as opposed to kind of answering in a very efficient and concise manner. And I think, you know, there's a few questions that people get asked regularly that generally cause them a problem. One of them is possibly one of the first questions that can be asked at an interview. It would be when an interview panel would simply say, look, tell us a little bit about yourself, or, you know, give us an overview of your career and so forth. And the problem with that question is people don't know where to stop. They invariably start to talk too long. They start to ramble. And they then focus on trying to get out of that answer, and in doing so, they essentially overload, you know. And then what they'll also do is they will invite the interview panel to talk over them and ask a second question. So they haven't even had time to prepare and reset themselves for the next question. So just dealing with that particular one, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. The best way to approach that is to have something prepared that's quite short, somewhere between 40 and maybe 60 seconds max. And it's not a detailed life history. It's just a very, very short synopsis of your career to this point. You can mention where you were born and grew up, but you don't need to expand beyond that. And just a brief overview of your career to that point. But even at that stage, at the very early stage of the interview, use that question or use that answer as an example of where you meet the requirements for the job spec. So begin to look at how you can structure that answer, albeit within maybe a 60-second pitch, but how you can structure that answer to hit some of the keywords that would have been presented on the job spec. I think one of the other ones that throws people completely is when they're asked to talk about their strengths and weaknesses. Strengths are quite easy to identify, and we can usually talk about them with a large degree of confidence. But if somebody asks you to identify a weakness, again, it throws us out of our comfort zone. And the way we always prepare people to attack that particular type of question is to turn a weakness into a strength. And what I mean is, for argument's sake, let's just say you're a software developer going for a developer's role, and somebody asks you to identify weaknesses. Well, you could say, you know, well, I consider my software skills in PHP to be very good, maybe in HTML, but I realized a number of months ago that my Java skills weren't up to the level that they should be. And on that basis, I went about taking some online tutorials, and I'm still doing them, and I'm gradually bringing myself up to a level that I know I should be at, and more importantly, a level that you guys would expect within this particular role. So what you've actually done is you've identified a weakness, but you've turned it into a positive by demonstrating, you know, you're aware of it and you're being proactive about addressing it. There's always a few other ones as well.
Can I just stop you there, though, Mark? Sorry to go across, you know, but when you raise that particular question, describe your strengths and weaknesses. I was actually talking to a friend of mine last week who had been to a recent job interview, and she was asked that very question. And sorry, she was asked to describe her personality.
Right.
And she began by identifying what she thought were her principal strengths. And she was stopped after, I think, a minute or a bit. And she was told by the lead interviewer, no, I don't want to know about your strengths. I want to know about your personality. And she was completely flummoxed.
They are, you see, I suppose, they would be two completely different things.
Sure.
In essence, what they're looking for in the sense of a question like that is for you to identify maybe more so your core values, you know, the type of person you are, the type of future employee you would be within the organization, where you'd see yourself fitting into that particular culture. So, you know, you would essentially be looking at describing yourself in terms of, you know, whether it's ambitious, whether it's creative, whether it's diligent, whether you're the type of person who proactively likes to solve problems, whether you'd see yourself as, you know, front of house, or whether you'd see yourself as you know, back office type. In other words, would you see yourself as the public face of the business, dealing directly with customers, or are you more of a team player that would sit within a team and diligently operate in the background? So, again, like I suppose asking somebody to identify and to, you know, to critique their own personality, as you correctly say, could be a complete curveball unless you've done a bit of proprietary work beforehand.
And just a text has come in. When an interviewer asks you that type of question, how would you describe your personality or describe your strengths and weaknesses, what exactly are they looking for? Are they trying to catch you on the hop? Are they making an effort to see, well, can you react properly? Or in the instance case of my friend last week, when she was answering the question that she hadn't been, sorry, she was giving an answer to a question that she hadn't been asked, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I think what they're trying to achieve will obviously depend on the people conducting the interview. I don't think in general terms they're trying to catch you on the hop. They're more so trying to see how I suppose two things. One, how you react under a certain degree of pressure within that interview environment. And secondly, that there's probably an expectation there that you would have prepared your answers around, you know, the possible questions that could be thrown at you. So if you think you're being interviewed, you're probably one of maybe 8 or 10 people that are being interviewed for that particular position. So, you know, they will be making a broad assessment on how each individual candidate handles themselves in relation to that question. But I think, you know, from an employer's point of view, I think they would apportion a certain level of significance to somebody who can do two things. One, they can identify a weakness, they can articulate that, and in particular, if they do identify a weakness, that they, you know, they've done something to address it. Because let's face it, we all have weaknesses, and we all have weaknesses that would be applicable to a particular work environment. But the important thing is, the important thing really is, one, to be aware of them, and two, to be seen to be doing something about it.
Can you give us any other examples of difficult questions which may be inclined to put people outside their comfort zone, as you describe it?
Yeah, I think one that crops up quite regularly, Aidan, is when somebody is asked, you know, where would they see themselves in 5 years, or where would they see themselves in 10 years? And that again can be a very open-ended question unless you have something prepared. And if, for argument's sake, you're being interviewed by somebody whose job or whose position you would ultimately like to aim for in terms of internal career progression, there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that, you know, but be careful how you word it, because you don't want to portray yourself as a potential threat to the person who's interviewing you. But by the same token, I would consider it very acceptable to say, well, you know, ultimately I would assume that you yourself will progress up the organisation in terms of your own career development, and, you know, on that basis, I would like to see, you know, a tangible goal for me would be to aim for your position in a number of years. Or you could kind of word it around that type of format. And ultimately, what you're achieving is, A, you're showing that you're ambitious, you're showing that you want to develop and prosper within that organisation, and secondly, you're making it, you know, you're making the point quite clear that you're not there as a perceived threat to the person who's interviewing you. More so, you're acknowledging the fact that most likely that person could end up being the MD in 10 or 15 years' time.
Are there questions which an interviewer can't ask? And if such a question is asked, how should one address it?
Any question that could be any way discriminatory cannot be asked at interview and should not be asked. And anything that would relate to, you know, to gender, to race, to ethnic background, any of the core issues that would instigate the potential for discrimination cannot be asked. And if there is somebody who's inexperienced in the role of interviewing and they do stumble across a question like that and they ask a question like that, you're perfectly entitled to, you know, stay calm and collected, but just say, look, realistically, I don't think it's proper for you to be asking me a question on that basis. Essentially, you're perfectly entitled to do that. I thought that would be, you know, that would be the major no-no from an employer's point of view and from a, you know, well, not just an employer, but anybody conducting an interview, they would have to stay well clear of anything that would be anyway construed as discriminatory.
And let's say such a question was asked, Mark, and that the interviewee might be a young person in their early 20s, perhaps not very experienced, and answered and then subsequently discovered that that question should not have been asked. Is there any way back from that?
I suppose... Well, there is, Aidan, yeah. I suppose it would depend on the outcome of the interview.
Sure. If they didn't get the job, say.
Well, if they didn't get the job, they certainly have a right to redress. And if they felt aggrieved that particular question was asked at the interview, their first port of call should be to make contact with the company again, make contact with the people who conducted the interview, and make it known that... you know, as to whether or not the decision was made based on that particular question being asked, as far as you're concerned as the candidate, it shouldn't have been asked. And you're well within your rights to pursue on that basis. Now, if somebody felt, and I mean, it has happened both in this country and in our near neighbours in the UK, where you would on occasion read articles about people who have taken legal action against a company who overstepped the mark in terms of a discriminatory approach being taken during the interview. Now, you would hope, you would hope that it wouldn't come to that, because no matter what approach you take, that's a costly exercise. But most definitely, you would be well within your rights to raise that with the company, in particular with the people who conducted the interview.
And would redress be satisfactory if you were to be re-interviewed by a different panel?
It would definitely be something that you would and you should request. And you would hope that you know, a large degree of transparency would be involved in that particular interview. I suppose ultimately, in an ideal world, you would hope that people are educated to a point where, you know, where they won't conduct themselves in that manner. Because once it happens, no matter what the outcome is, it sours a relationship between a candidate and an organisation. And it would actually do massive damage to the reputation of that particular organisation once it becomes public.
Very good, Mark. We shall leave it at that. Mark MacDonald from Slieneagh Careers, thank you very much indeed for joining us this evening.
You're very welcome, Aidan.